Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. We are concluding an amazing series of studies, Salvation by Faith Alone, not only the doctrine of justification by faith, but how to live that new creation life as a follower of Jesus. In fact, our topic today, Christian living, and I'm glad you joined us. And if you missed any in this series on salvation by faith alone, Paul's counsel to Christians in Rome, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the entire series, and you can download the outline that we're studying from today and follow along with us. We're just glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School. And it's been a great series, hasn't it? I don't think we can ever be reminded too much about the amazing love of God and His salvation by His grace through faith. And today, Christian living, getting very practical. We're glad you're with us, and we're always happy when you write to us and share how your life is being impacted through a study of the Word of God. It's good to have Hope Sabbath School members all around the world from Poland. By the way, do you know in Poland, don't be shocked, Michael, you're going to speak Polish by December because they do voiceover in Polish. And you'll be speaking in Polish too, Haiti. You never knew that, right? Because they some areas they'll do a closed captioning. Some they actually do a voiceover in their language. And actually, Hope Sabbath School is one of the most viewed programs on Hope Channel Poland. So this is from Natalia. She's 17. Thanks for writing to us from Poland. She said, "I just found Hope Channel and I really love it." Yeah. Praise the Lord. Please pray for me, for much peace, for much faith, for much happiness, and for perseverance in the Lord.
Amen.
She concludes, Hope Sabbath School gives me strength. It's an incredible privilege from God. Thank you for being there for people like me. You're a real support. Amen.
Amen.
Natalia, thanks for writing to us from Poland. We hope we can come visit you sometime and see what God's doing in that beautiful country. Elphus writes from Kenya and says, "Hi, Hope Sabbath School team."
Hi.
Thanks for smiling, by the way. It means a lot. He says he's from the University of Nairobi. And I like listening to your in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. You can tell they're real viewers when they say that, right? That's like our branding. I've even downloaded the app on my Android, and it's such a blessing. Now, I just want to say to those of you that have a smartphone or a tablet, you can download the Hope Sabbath School app. It's free. It's used, we know of, 150 countries around the world. Apparently, one is Kenya because Elphus has it on his Android device. He says, "Oh, I love this. I have found the courage to become a teacher since I got the app." Is that awesome? I also use the study guide when I'm leading the discussion, and it's very wonderful. You're such a blessing to my life. May God bless you as you continue to renew your strength every day as you spread the gospel. Well, I just want to say, Elphus, I'm just so thankful that you're taking advantage of the resources, because our prayer, we're 13 here right now, plus our media team that's capturing this discussion. But our prayer would be that tens of thousands of teachers would take the outline. And then imagine if each one had 10. That's a million right there. You get 100,000. It continues to grow and impact people around the world. So I want to challenge you to keep using those teaching gifts God's given you, Elphus, there in Kenya. Well, Mary Ann writes from Mississippi in the United States of America. She says, "I'm a longtime watcher of Hope Sabbath School. It's how I begin every morning. I'm learning so much. I write occasionally, but I just want to reaffirm the reason I watch." Ready?
Yep.
Here's the reason. "Because of your knowledge of the Bible, but mostly because of your continued humility and the love of Christ that comes through you."
Amen.
Wow. Did you think it was just the Bible? No. Your continued humility and the love of Christ that comes through you. Isn't that our prayer? Thank you, Marianne. That's our prayer, That's a miracle, isn't it? The love of Christ can flow through us. Jesse writes from Australia. Says, I was born in Melbourne, Australia. In 1986, I had a life-changing experience with Christ. I attended many churches, but I was not content. I discovered certain truths about the true Christian faith, particularly the true meaning of God's grace through Jesus Christ. Well, I just want to say, Jesse, you must have been blessed by this series on salvation by faith alone in God's grace. Through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he says, I don't go to church now, but I absolutely love watching Hope Sabbath School. Amen. The wealth of scripture knowledge your team directs is my source of teaching apart from reading the scriptures for myself. Thanks for your love and obedience to Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Jesse, I would say don't give up looking for a church that teaches the Word of God. Because I believe that God in these last days is raising up people who say, I want to follow God and be faithful to His Word. And you are absolutely right. Find a church that believes in salvation by grace through faith, because that's what the Bible teaches. Thanks for writing to us from Australia. And one last note from Colorado in the United States of America. I watch Hope Sabbath School every day. Now, that's not watching the same program every day, because we take the series, like this series on salvation by faith alone, then we repackage it as a daily Bible study, and it's broadcast. We have now, I think, about 500 hours of interactive Bible studies that we've recorded. Some of you feel like you've been with us for almost all of them, right? But what a privilege, isn't it?
Yeah.
Watch every day on DirecTV channel 368. Sometimes I watch episodes two or three times. I've learned so much from a study of God's Word with you. The Holy Spirit is so alive in your hearts. I say, thank you, Jesus, right?
Amen.
It blesses those watching. It reaches out and touches us. The music is soothing from the Word of God, and the teachings are changing me, and I pray every day to live what I have learned.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? This is Alana, by the way, from Colorado. Alana, thank you for your love for Christ and for sharing the Word of God. I pray for this teaching to reach the entire world. Alana, how can we thank you for your letter? Because that's what we're praying, that the love of God and the truth of Jesus would flow through us to bless hearts. One heart in Colorado in the United States. Thanks for writing to us. And I want to thank all of you who are part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We're wrapping up this series, Salvation by Faith Alone. And this series has been made possible because of your prayers and your support. So thanks for being part of the miracle. If you're one of our sustaining partners and you help us on a monthly basis, we're here because of you. If you hear people coming to Christ, I know we're just a part of it, but we are a part. Praise God. So thank you for your support. You can go to hopetv.org/donate if you say, I want to partner with you, Derek. I want to be a part of this gospel going to the whole world so Jesus can come back. And you know, whatever we face today, we know one thing from the song we've been singing for the series, that God can work all things together for good for those who love Him. I know you've learned it, so let's sing the song together.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we say to these things? All things.
You know, while we were singing, the thought came to my mind, maybe we'll face a challenge this week. And God will just bring that song to our minds. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us,
yeah,
I think the word is so powerful, isn't it? And that's not just, well, that's something Ray said. No, that's something the Holy Spirit inspired God's servant Paul to write down for our blessing.
Amen.
And I know as we study about Christian living today, we're going to learn some powerful lessons that will bless our lives. And we're glad you're part of our study. Would you bow your head with us in prayer as we ask the Holy Spirit to guide our study today? Father in heaven, we wish we had much more time to look at this crucial topic of Christian living, living the new creation life, having been saved by your grace through faith. But Lord, in the moments we have today, may your Holy Spirit energize us, set us free, to learn your word and to testify of your goodness. May miracles happen in the lives of those who hear today, including our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Romans chapter 14, we're talking practical study. And Mike, I'm going to ask you if you would start our study with Romans 14, verses 1 to 4, with the whole issue of, showing love, being compassionate to those who are weak.
Okay, Romans 14, 1 through 4 from the New King James Version. Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For the one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand.
So let's talk about this being sensitive to those who are weak. I don't think this is talking about a vegetarian diet, by the way. though it could be. It's saying don't judge. Learn to be sensitive to people that you might consider weak. Why is that important for us as followers of Jesus, saved by not what we've done, but by what Jesus has done for us? Nancy, what do you think?
Well, he wants us to think of others before thinking of ourselves. So if there's something that we're doing that we think is perfectly fine, but we think is going to be difficult to understand by someone else, then we don't do it, because we're to think of others as more important than us. Just, you know, regard them highly as Jesus regards us.
And you know, it may not be a moral issue, but if we have the freedom, we ought to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. Can you think of an example of that? Something in culture. I'll tell you what came to my mind. I was in Asia not too long ago, and when you go to preach, I came to the church and there's all the shoes that were outside. I thought everybody lost their shoes, and then I realized that nobody wore shoes into the church. You know, I haven't preached just in my socks many times. I had my socks that had the name of the brand on the toes. It's like, okay. But I took my shoes off. Is that required in the Bible that you have to take your shoes off?
No.
I mean, there are examples, holy ground, right? Like Moses.
Yes.
But what message would I have sent if I just kind of marched in there with my shoes on, Andre.
Lack of respect for their practice.
Would they have dragged me out?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. You know, probably they would have said, well, he just doesn't know better. But it would have shown a lack of respect, wouldn't it? Learning to be sensitive. Now, we could spend a lot of time there, but there's so much in these chapters. Andre?
I can give an example there, you know, where it says that weak, it said weak in the faith. And there are things that we as Christians, are, you know, people expect us to understand certain things. And what I see a lot of times when someone loses a loved one, maybe their child died, the way that they grieve, people like to tell them what to do. They like to prescribe to them, oh, if you believe in God, then you wouldn't grieve like that. But we don't, you know, again, their faith in God or the way that they're seeing it, especially in that moment of grief, they may not even be thinking clearly. And if we are beating on them and pouncing on them, you know, saying, oh, you shouldn't be like that. And I've seen people do that, and it's discouraging. And I don't believe this is what God is calling us to do.
Yeah, it's not even discouraging. It's not really Christian, is it? Yep. That's what the text is saying. It's challenging us. Laura, we're going to keep moving with verses 5 through 13, learning to be sensitive to others. Let's see how your version reads. Romans 14, 5 through 13.
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Who observes the day, observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way.
Now, there's lots of stuff there about food and about days and this idea of let each one be fully
convinced
in their own mind. By the way, that doesn't mean just because you think it's right, it's right. Yeah. It's just saying if that's where you are in your journey, another person ought not to judge you for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I remember I talked to a dear friend of mine. I have great respect for him. He's now quite elderly and weak. And we were talking. He's a conservative Protestant. And I said to him, what do you think about the Sabbath? He said, well, it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. He goes to the church on Sunday. It's a possibility, but I'm not convinced of that at the time. How should I respond to him, Alyssa?
I think you have to let him keep going on his journey with God and continue to be a good friend to him that's there to discuss and dialogue, but more importantly, that you guys share a common respect and love and pray for each other.
And not only for each other, but we're all followers of Jesus, right?
Amen.
Hey, we're brothers. We're sisters in Christ.
Right.
And I respect that you're following. You're, right? Keep studying the Word, just like we encourage the brother who wrote to us. Keep studying the Word. You may find a church that you believe is really following Scripture more closely, right? But don't judge each other. And say, well, you know what? If you really did love God, you'd be just like me. Right?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we think that by winning the argument or making a point, but we may end up losing the relationship aspect. And that doesn't work. I remember I was studying with a young man. He's very Bible knowledgeable, and I was teaching him some new things in the Bible. And everything that we studied, it was making sense to him. You know, Sabbath, oh, that makes sense. Ten Commandments, everything. We got to this one topic, and it was not making sense to him. And we had already had a baptism date. He's like, Ray, I'm not getting it. And we studied it a different way. I approached it a different way. And I wasn't trying to push the subject. I was just trying to say, you know, let's look at it from another perspective. And then I said, you know what? Let's leave it. So I did something and I was like, you know what? I talked with the elders and the members and we baptized them. Mm-hmm. A year later, I moved away from that place. I wasn't living there anymore. I get a phone call and he's like, Ray, I finally got it. It makes sense. And at first I was like, who's this? And then he's like, you know, it's me. And so we were talking on the phone. I was like, wow, yeah, I remember. And he's like, you know what? It makes sense now. And I thought about it to myself at that moment. Had I tried to push the issue so far, listen, we're not going to go forward with this because you don't get this, maybe I would have pushed them away. Mm. But I allowed the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you try to take that role of the Holy Spirit, but allow the Holy Spirit to convict them at his own time. And I think that's important.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Andre.
I mean, we see an encouragement for sincerity here, that an individual's where they are in their faith and their belief, it needs to be sincere between them and God, because whatever you do, you're doing it unto God. And so I may be, as Ray said, you know, he understood these things. His friend didn't understand, the gentleman he was studying with didn't understand some of these things, but Ray was gentle with him and allowing him to be where he was, because I've often said a man or woman convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. And so we're being encouraged here to be convinced fully of ourselves. You know, that's what it said, right?
Well, basically, we're allowing them to follow the journey that God's leading them on.
Yes.
I need you to go to the next verse, if you would, because this ties in to building people up rather than tearing them down.
Right.
We're going to look at several verses in Romans 14 and 15. If you could start by reading Romans 14, verses 16 through 23. The importance, again, the opposite of not judging or tearing down is
building them up,
right? Edifying is another way of saying building them up. So let's look at Romans 14, verses 16 to 23.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans 14, verses 16 through 23. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who does is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin.
Now, verse 19 said, one may edify another. Alyssa, if you could keep reading, we're looking at this theme in chapter 15 now, verses 1 and 2, and then 5, 6, and 7, those three verses for us.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. And now I'm moving to verse 5, 6, and 7. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory.
My Bible says, receive one another, just as Christ also received us. Mm. How did he receive us?
We are.
Just as we are?
Yep.
Lourdes, anybody want to add to that?
While
Rodney?
While we were yet sinners.
While we were yet sinners, okay. That's just as we are, but that adds a little dimension, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. How else did he receive us? Not, you're talking about our condition. What about his attitude? What was his attitude when he received
love.
It? Love, right? Love and acceptance, just as we are, while we were yet sinners. And it's saying we ought to receive each other that way, right? So I want you to share with me, of course, we know that Golden Rule says that, doesn't it? You remember the Golden Rule? Anybody paraphrase that? Romans, Matthew 7:12. What does it say?
Do unto others, yep. And let them to do unto you.
Treat others the way you'd like to be treated, right? Mm-hmm. Or do to others what you would have them to do to you. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty simple rule of life. Mm-hmm. Be sensitive. All right. Mm-hmm. Someone share with me. We're talking about building people up, accepting them as they are, even when they're struggling, with love. Can you think of a time in your life when someone did that for you? They just kind of built you up, Puya?
Well, I had an experience a couple of years ago as a youth leader in a church setting. We were organizing an event, weekend camping, and the youth director asked me to be in charge of this program where we did a Bible scavenger hunt. And I was the person planning everything. And in my mind, I had it all, you know, I had it all and everything planned out and was very confident. And then when the actual time came and we started playing the game, it all fell apart because I miscalculated where to start the first clue. Every group that we were having, they had to come around and everything was just falling apart. And we had to start all over again from the very beginning. Now, at the end of the day, I felt very disappointed in myself, very down. And then the youth director came along and said, hey, Puya, hey, don't worry about it. You did well. You know, those things can happen. So the next time you do it, you'll do it better. So that those words, I was expecting a kind of like, you know, like what would be the word? I don't know, discipline. But instead of, you know, putting down on me, he lifted me up, encouraged me. Instead of judging me on my mistakes, said, hey, you can do better, you know. That really changed everything, and I was more than ever energized to be more careful the next time I do it and plan it well.
And by the way, you work as a leader now, so has it affected the way that you relate to other people as well?
Definitely, definitely.
Not just your own planning. Yeah. Ray?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in high school, and I was at a boarding academy. And I worked part of my job. We worked 4 hours, and then school part of the day. I did landscaping or, you know, maintenance. And so I had the ability of driving a truck. The leader would let me drive a truck. And so we were supposed to pick up some trees or some pieces, but he told me to stay away from a certain part. It was like it had rain and it was wet and it was muddy. Some of my friends were like, "Nah, man, go through. It's gonna be fun. We can go through the mud." And I was like, you know, I let the peer pressure get to me a little bit.
We already know where the story's going here.
So you know what happened. I went to the muddy part, and the thing is, the truck gets stuck. And he's like, zzz, zzz, and it's not going anywhere. And we're trying everything we can. And now I'm thinking, oh, man, my supervisor is going to be upset because he specifically told me not to do that. And so we're trying to figure out any way we can avoid facing him. We either get the truck, call someone else, but nothing. Eventually, I told my husband, listen, you know, I'm just going to walk back to the school. And I found my supervisor, and I was very honest with him. I was like, listen, I just want you to know, you told me, and I apologized. And, you know, I'm expecting a talk, a conversation, possibly
the day of judgment.
Yes, getting fired. I don't know. And he's like, oh, where's the truck? And I told him, okay, well, let's go. And he grabbed his keys, got in his car, let's go get it right now. And I was so surprised because he didn't show anger. He didn't give a talk with me. But here's the thing that struck me the most was the way I reacted. The way he reacted towards me, it led me to think that I did not want to do that again to disappoint him. I said, you know what? The way he's acted right now, I would not want to disappoint him ever again, you know, because he's shown me grace. And the way he acted let me demonstrate that he cared more about me than the action I had just done.
That sounds like the gospel, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyone want to respond to that? Or if not, we're going to go on to Romans chapter 15. We're covering several chapters, three whole chapters. Haiti, if you could read chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. And while Haiti's reading, especially if some of you have a Bible that has a little reference in it, I want you to notice some of the passages that he's quoting from. First, we're going to note that, but then I'm going to say, what lesson can we learn about Paul really, apparently he really knew the scriptures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's read Romans 15, 9 through 12.
I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, "And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." To 13?
Just through 12 right now. Thank you. So, he told us one of the people he was quoting. Who was it?
Isaiah.
The prophet Isaiah. Yeah, but he also quoted from two other authors. Who else did he quote from?
Samuel.
Psalms and Deuteronomy.
From the psalmist. I didn't check to make sure it was David, but I think Psalm 18 is David. Psalm 117. Some of them are unnamed, but from the psalmist. And who else did he quote from?
Samuel.
He quoted from Moses, right, in Deuteronomy chapter 32. So what does that tell you? I mean, this may sound obvious, but I think we should state it because we're talking about the Christian life. What does that tell you about Paul? Yes, please.
He knows the scripture very well.
By the way, he had to relearn some of the scripture, right? Because the scripture had all pointed to Jesus, but he had not accepted Jesus. But he knew the scriptures, they were inside of him. Can you think of other examples in the New Testament where people, followers of Jesus, it was evident that the scriptures were inside of them? Anybody? Yes, please.
The first thing that comes to my mind, well, Jesus himself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus himself, when he faced the temptation, he
constantly
was able to say,
quoting
it is written.
It's like he'd memorize at least the book of Deuteronomy because he's constantly quoting.
Right.
What other stories, followers of Jesus, can you think of where they quote a scripture? Haiti?
I thought of Peter
yes.
on the day of Pentecost.
Absolutely. He quotes Joel about your spirit being poured out on sons and daughters, right? Can you think of another story? It's also there in the book of Acts where someone's quoting from Scripture. His sermon's so powerful, they kill him.
Stephen,
that's right. Stephen the deacon. If you look in Acts chapter 7, if you've got that little reference to back to, it's all kinds of references starting in Genesis, Exodus, and it's just filled with the Scriptures. Now, Rodney, if you could read verse 4 of Romans 15, because the scriptures are not just there for us to, like, win a Bible quiz or impress people. But Romans 15, verse 4 tells us what those stories are there for.
So Romans 15, verse 4, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. "For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope."
Whatever things were written. Now, this is in Romans. We don't even have, I don't think we even have the Gospels written yet. These are some of the early epistles. So he's probably speaking more mainly about Hebrew scriptures here, right? So I suppose we should stick with the Hebrew scriptures for now. And tell me, is there a story in the Hebrew scriptures that gives you hope? You go, well, that I was taught that when I was little. Nancy, a story that you say, I'm so glad that's there in the Bible because it gives me hope.
The story of David. You know, first, he starts out so powerfully, you know. I mean, we know it was God's strength that helped him to defeat Goliath. You know, it wasn't his little slingshot. But then later, he falls so badly with Bathsheba. And you think, oh, my goodness, adultery, murder, and just, oh, that's the worst sins we can imagine. And yet God calls him a man after his own heart. Because if you read, what psalm is it where he's just...
Psalm 51?
Yeah. Oh,
would you read that for us?
Sure.
Because that's 51. Such a powerful text, isn't it?
Let's
go to Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Could we do that?
Psalm 51.
We don't have time to read the whole psalm, but Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. and I think your illustration is a powerful one to give us hope.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Mm-hmm. So this is a man who knew God, and he got disconnected, obviously, but then he just got, he knew in whom he believed, and he knew that, you know, God knew his heart, and he would forgive him.
And by the way, is not only did he not stop loving God, God didn't stop loving him. Because God sent a prophet named
Nathan
who really put him on the spot.
Yeah. You are that man.
You are that man. That's right. God loved him enough to confront him with that and call him to repent. Puya?
My favorite verse, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Can
okay,
I read
would
that?
You like to read it?
I would like to read
and,
that.
And this is it the prophet Jeremiah who gives you hope?
It's the setting itself, you know,
okay.
when the Jews were captives. This is Jeremiah writing to the elders who were taken away in a foreign land where when they had no hope, when they were giving up on everything. Now, this verse is just powerful.
And do you just want to read verse 11 or can you read down verse 13? Can
sure.
you do 11 through 13
11
for us?
11 through 13. That will be helpful, yes.
All right. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
It's just powerful for me.
So that narrative of Scripture gives you hope.
And knowing that God is in control of my future, I don't need to be afraid, you know, because this verse very clearly says that God is in control of my life.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kenneth, do you have a story or a passage of Scripture?
Yeah, I have a passage. It's Job 19, verse 25 to 27.
All right, the book of Job. Yeah. Now, some may not know this, but many Bible scholars think that's the first book of the Bible to be written. And Job has gone through great trials. And you're saying that Job 25, no, Job 19,
19 25.
Verses 25 to 27
yes.
Brings you hope.
Yeah.
Would you read that for us?
The New King James Version reads, For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh as I shall see God. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Yeah. That one day I will die, but that is not over, because my Redeemer will come, and I will see him.
In your flesh. So there'll be a resurrection. Flesh. That's what Jesus taught, right?
Yes.
I know that my Redeemer lives. That ended up in a famous song, didn't it? I won't sing it for you, but I know that my Redeemer lives, right? So powerful. Well, you know, as we think about Scriptures, and you've said the Scriptures, Paul knew them, he quoted them, we found great encouragement. Sometimes the Scriptures are hard to understand. Can you think of any promises that are an encouragement to us? I always think of Peter when he said, some things Paul writes are hard to understand.
Yes.
But are there any promises that you can think of that encourage you when you come to Scripture? That's what we're doing in Hope Sabbath School, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody have a text? Lourdes, is there? Or Andre?
John 14, 26.
All right, John 14 and verse 26. This gives you encouragement as you come to study Scripture.
Absolutely.
Okay?
And it reads, I'm reading from the New King James Version, John 14, verse 26. It says, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Mm. Yeah. You know, if we could go over, I didn't think of it until just right now, but could you also read John 16 and verse 13?
Absolutely.
John 16, because you're talking about the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 13 is another promise. And maybe if what you're reading here, guided by the Spirit, maybe whenever we study the Bible, we should ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher.
Yes. Yes.
John 16 and verse 13, Andre.
Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come."
Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. So we open the scriptures. We ought to pray. Why do we ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, Rodney? Do you know about scriptures and the Holy Spirit? How are they connected?
Spiritual things are, you know, spiritually discerned. And if it comes from the Spirit, we'll be able to understand.
Okay.
Our very flesh is carnal, and we can't understand spiritual things.
Anyone want to add to that? Alyssa?
Sometimes we think there's so much time between us and this writer and so much differences, but the same Spirit that inspired them to write is still with you today.
Ah, see, that's so important, because these, when we speak of inspired writings, Peter says, holy men of God
were moved.
Wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And you're saying the same Holy Spirit that inspired them to write can guide us when we read?
Right.
Is that powerful?
Yes.
We're coming towards the end of Romans. I want to ask Lourdes if you could read some final words of encouragement. I'm going to ask you to read Romans 15, 13. And then, Andrew, I'm going to ask you to read Romans 16, 17. And Ray, if you'd read Romans 16, 20. And then Laurel, if you'd read verses 24 to 27. He's coming to the end of his letter. And let's look at a few words of encouragement. First, Lourdes, Romans 15, 13.
And I will be reading from the New King James Version. "Now, may the God of hope fill with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
Mm-hmm. And then chapter 16, verse 17, Michael. Romans 16 and verse 17.
Yes, chapter 16, verse 17 from the New King James Version now. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Mm. Mm-hmm.
So we've got some hope and some warning. Mm-hmm. Ray, do you have Romans 16, verse 20?
Yes, and I'm also reading from the New King James Version. Romans 16, 20 says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Mm-hmm. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen."
And I forgot, I had asked Andrew to read. I'm going to ask you to read a verse right after Laurel. Romans 16, Laurel, verses 24 to 27.
Okay, Romans 16, 24 to 27. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you all. Amen. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen."
What comes through in these farewell comments? And then I'm going to have Andrew read for us chapter 16, verse 22. What impresses you as he comes to the end of his letter? Anybody?
What impresses me is that he's still reaffirming that if you doubt, let me tell you again, God is able to establish you according to
the All right, gospel. So it's coming back again to God and through our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Amen, right? Yeah. So no doubt about what the letter's about. Anybody else? What impresses you, Rodney?
The beginning, Jesus. The end, Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Salvation by faith Amen. Alone in the grace of God through Jesus. Right, Puya?
I am impressed with the fact that he
let them know that how let them know how fortunate they are that they know this secret, in a way, you know, the mystery which has been kept secret. But now you know it. So we are very blessed
to have that revelation.
Yes.
And Andrew, a strange little verse gets tucked in Romans 16 and verse 22. You could almost miss it if you're reading quickly. Would you read that verse for us?
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans 16, verse 22. Titus, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord.
Now, Tertius. Michael, have you heard that name anywhere else in the Bible?
No.
Huh? No? Is he one of the 12 disciples?
No.
Is he... Is he one of the seven deacons?
Mm-hmm. No.
Who is this man? Michael, do you have any idea? He says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord.
A scribe or secretary?
A scribe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a secretary. Because we know these are not his thoughts. Doesn't it tell us at the beginning of the book of Romans, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So he's not the author, but he is the scribe. Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate for him to just kind of say, hi?
You don't want to be left.
Hi, I'm Tertius. I mean, it's not hi, mom, you know, like, hi, mom. What do you think, Michael? Is that appropriate? I want to say hello to you.
I think it's appropriate since he's writing to the Romans. He's letting them know that that he also cares for them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The God... Didn't we study about many different gifts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what's his gift?
Writing.
He's a scribe.
Yeah, he's a scribe. Yeah. So we might not say, well, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit here. But is he used by the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Is he edifying the body of Christ?
Yes. Absolutely.
Is he part of the great miracle?
Yes.
Yes.
So we will not give him a hard time. We're saying, my name's Tertius. I'm the scribe, and I just want to greet you in the Lord, too. By the way, that certainly sends the message. I'm a believer in the Lord, too, right? Mm-hmm. I greet you in the Lord, right?
Right, and what I loved about Tertius is that he's pointing us back to Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, in the Lord.
So it's not about him. You realize he's just saying hi, but in the Lord. And it's beautiful, beautiful.
Mm. He took an ancient selfie.
He spends the last third, five chapters, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I wish we'd had more time. There's a lot of powerful things in there talking about how we live as those who've been saved by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he takes that many chapters? Even greeting. Oh, greet this person. Say hello to that person. Why do you think he spends five chapters on very kind of down-to-earth practical counsel? Alyssa?
I know for me, I mean, you can teach me anything, but until you show me how to do it, I'm kind of at a loss. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad he did that.
All right, so here's the profound theological truth. Mm-hmm. Here's how to live. Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Puya?
This reminds me of a quote that I've heard before, which says that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying live...
Mm-hmm. Live the life.
Live the gospel. Yes.
Live the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right. Anybody else? Andrew?
Well, it's amazing. Actions speak much louder than words. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the mindset here. Okay, let's see how it's actually done, how it can practically be done, because we can know it and still not live it.
So he's been talking about not being judgmental, about loving each other. Mm-hmm. Lourdes?
You're talking about loving each other. That's a byproduct with the connection of our God.
Okay.
Yes, we're saved by grace, but our loving, me loving my brother, me loving my sister, is a connection, the branch connected to the vine versus product.
A byproduct of that relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rodney?
So when we come to Jesus, that's the first step. Mm. We have to live after that. And by the way, there are others around that may not know Jesus. We may be the only Jesus they may identify first. Mm. Mm. So we have to live how Jesus lived so that others can also come to him. Mm.
Mm. So if we were to look at the whole letter, and by the way, that would be a word of encouragement for you as a Bible student too, just to pause and say, don't just read Romans 6:23 or Romans 12:21. Those are both great verses, by the way. But read the whole letter, the whole counsel of God. We've looked in this series from Romans 1:1 to Romans 16, how many verses? 27. To him be glory. Through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. What is the most important lesson you've learned? There's no right or wrong answer to this. What have you learned from the study that you say, I'm glad we studied this series, Ray?
I really appreciate Paul's humanness. And I'm thinking of Romans 1, where he talks about the righteousness of God is revealed, you know, from faith to faith. And I appreciate that because it's encouraging to me to see that it's a process that God is working in me. There's things that I used to struggle with that I no longer struggle, and I praise God for that.
Amen.
And I praise God that he's gotten me through that, and I look forward to the many more victories that God is going to continue to give me. So I'm thankful for Paul giving us that message in the book of Romans.
And certainly in other places where he says Christ died for sinners, and I'm the worst one.
Chief of sinners.
You know, by the grace of God. I love this text. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. So that being willing to be transparent, vulnerable, that you appreciate that. Andre, what's the most impactful lesson for you?
A reminder to edify others, to lift others up. And not just because I've received it, to hold it to myself, but to make sure that when I see others stumble or suffering or struggling, that I encourage them.
And you know, that's part of the whole gospel message, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's not just, well, I've been saved, I just have to stay out of trouble and I don't care about you. I can't, back to what Lourdes said, that's not a living connection with a loving Savior, is it? Yeah. Edifying, building other people up. Laurel, lots of lessons, but what one comes to you?
Romans 7 and 8 has been a very powerful two chapters for me, because in Romans 7, I learn about the conflict between like what's going on in the flesh and what's in the spirit. I know what is good, but I tend to just keep on sinning. But in Romans 8, we know that there is deliverance, and Jesus gives us that deliverance. Amen. And if nothing else, know that Jesus has delivered you, he has saved you, and no matter how much you struggle, never give up on Christ.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a little more chance, but I want to speak to each one of you. I'd love to hear from you. You've been with us through this series, Paul's Counsel to the Romans. I'd love to hear the most powerful lesson you've learned, how this living word, how the Spirit, like Alyssa said, the same Spirit who inspired Paul to write and helped Tertius write it, or Tertius write it, spoke to your heart. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org, because you are part of this miracle called Hope Sabbath School. And we'd love to hear how the Spirit of God impacted you. Amen. Someone else. Yes, Rodney, you probably read through the book of Romans before, studied verses here and there, but we've studied through the journey here. What lesson has God brought to your
Many
heart?
Places you find Paul saying, grace be unto you, grace be unto you, grace be unto you. Paul was the one that really experienced grace. And for me, there's a song that comes to mind, grace, grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. It reminds us constantly that grace is available to all of us today.
That's the most important lesson. Haiti, you've shared some testimonies here. You've seen the battle between good and evil, and you've chosen to stand with Jesus. How is this study of Romans, what's the lesson that God's bringing to your heart?
There were so many lessons, but one thing that stood out to me is when he talks about being kind to your enemies, and that in doing so you'll heap, but I forgot the exact words, but
coals of fire on their head. Yep.
Yes, because I just think that's so easy to say, but so difficult to do. And it's something that we really have to be conscientious of and choose. I'm going to be kind to everyone despite how they might feel towards me or treat me.
When I was little, I didn't understand that text. I thought that meant burn them up, you know. maybe it means to warm them up. I don't know. Certainly the text we read, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Kenneth, what lesson has God brought to your heart?
Putting on Christ and not making any provision for the things of darkness. To me, that is what is
Romans chapter 13, the armor of light, putting on Christ and making no provision for the deeds of darkness. Puya.
For me, the song that we've been singing from Romans 8. You know?
God can work all things.
Yes, all things
for
good for those who love Him. So this gives me so much hope.
And Lourdes, one last comment.
I learned that we're all in this together. We're facing the same enemy. We are struggling. But we need to care for each other so we can all go to heaven and be with our Father.
Amen. We're all in this together, Lourdes says. And we said,
Amen.
We need to love each other. We need to care for each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to build each other up. We've studied about that today. We need to pray for each other when we know someone may not be praying for herself. Intercede for people. We need to pray daily, Jesus, not only be my Lord, but be my protector.
Amen.
You say, Derek, I need to go back and watch the whole series again. Well, you can go to the website, watch the whole series, Salvation by Faith Alone. But it's life-changing. If you've not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, I appeal to you to accept Him today and experience that new creation life that He has desired for each one of us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we've been amazed. We've gone back to this inspired document. It was written almost 2,000 years ago, and yet the same Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write has spoken to our heart, has been our teacher during this series. We want to thank you, Lord, for the lessons we've learned, but most of all, that our salvation begins and ends with Jesus. To Him be honor and glory forever. But God, we have a choice to make, and we want to choose Jesus as our Savior. We want to reaffirm Jesus as our Redeemer. And I thank you for those who've done that even today. And may we walk in that new creation life always to give honor and glory to your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School.